Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to rethink transportation. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Investors are rooting for Donald Trump's bid to loosen bank regulations.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Last Friday, President Donald Trump signed an executive order to review the Dodd-Frank Act, the law which mandated a regulatory overhaul of banks in the wake of the 2008-2009 financial crisis. The aim is to eliminate a lot of the rules included in Dodd-Frank. News of the order caused shares of the biggest U.S. banks to rise sharply, continuing the gains experienced since Trump's election. Joining us is Wall Street Journal reporter Telus Demos. Telus, investors welcomed the order since it could lead to banks returning a lot of money to shareholders. Isn't that right?
That's right. That has its origins in the post-financial crisis era. The Dodd-Frank Act, one of the things that it did was it empowered the Federal Reserve to require big banks to hold, basically retain more of the capital that they generate and to raise more capital from investors, basically in order to have a bigger buffer against a future financial crisis to prevent them from needing to be bailed out by the government. The deal was that, you know, basically bank shareholders would suffer at the expense of taxpayers who would be more protected from a bailout. What investors believe is that because, President Trump wants to deregulate a lot of the banks, he wants them to basically be lending more. And so that one would imagine that translates into letting them use that capital more for lending or other things, but basically freeing it up to either be returned to shareholders or be used in the business. And the belief is that the banks would end up basically using a lot of that money to pay shareholders who've been sort of patiently holding their stock for years, not really having great returns. The idea is that would sort of go back to them.
So that's one of the regulatory measures that banks don't like, the capital requirements measure where they'd have to hold a certain amount of money. And is that one of the measures Trump could target first?
Well, it's an area that doesn't necessarily require new legislation. A lot of what President Trump talks about when he talks about getting rid of Dodd-Frank would actually basically require either new laws to be passed or would require Dodd-Frank to be repealed. To do that, you'd need to, you know, not only make it through Congress, but also the Senate. And it's thought that, you know, the Senate, where Democrats still have a sizable presence, would be pretty difficult, actually, to overturn Dodd-Frank. And even many Republicans are not necessarily a fan of bank deregulation. So one area that he could have a little bit more influence is in this capital requirements realm, which is basically sort of set by the Federal Reserve, kind of with guidance from Dodd-Frank. And there's a position at the Fed, there's a job called Vice Chair for Bank Supervision. It's actually a job that has kind of gone unfilled since Dodd-Frank created it. The idea is that Trump could appoint somebody to that job who might then sort of lead the way in letting banks return more capital.
I'm speaking with Telus Demos of the Wall Street Journal, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to launch innovative transportation solutions, including its carpooling option, Uber Pool, and enable a world on the move. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm speaking with Telus Demos of the Wall Street Journal. Telus, how much money could banks potentially return in capital to investors?
What analysts estimate is that banks hold about $100 billion. The six largest banks in the U.S. hold about $100 billion more than technically they are required to. There are certain ratios that the government sets that say you have to hold this amount of capital for this business and this amount of capital for that business. And banks actually hold a little bit in excess of that, basically because the Federal Reserve hasn't allowed them to pay that back to shareholders in the form of dividends or share buybacks. Now, whether or not that full $100 billion would necessarily be returned to shareholders and over what period of time, that's not really clear. But that's at least the sort of the pot of money up for grabs. And that's what has shareholders kind of salivating at the idea.
Which banks could most benefit from this order if it comes to pass?
The three banks that are sort of the most overcapitalized in this sense are Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, and Wells Fargo. Citigroup is the most overcapitalized, at least in the sense that it's holding more than is technically required. It's about $27 billion worth. Citigroup was bailed out by the U.S. government during the financial crisis, and so as a legacy of that, they have some assets that basically the Fed doesn't allow them to kind of use as capital for the business. The idea is that in a capital return situation where the Federal Reserve really starts letting banks return more money to shareholders, that Citigroup would be the biggest beneficiary of that. And there are some shareholders who've been holding on to Citi stock, which hasn't done as well as some of the other banks kind of in the rally since the election, but they've been holding on to that stock with the idea that it would possibly be able to generate superior returns in the future.
How high up the priority list is this order? Because it's been a rather eventful first 2 weeks of the Donald Trump administration. Is there any ballpark idea as to when this might be attacked?
Well, it seems like it's something that President Trump has really delegated to Gary Cohn, who's a senior economic advisor to him. He's, of course, the former president of Goldman Sachs, who just left the bank to join the administration. And he was very instrumental in the rollout of the executive order and seems to be very influential in this process. So it might be something that, you know, President Trump doesn't actually like spend a lot of time himself on and delegates this to Gary Cohn. And so maybe you could see him kind of, you know, really spearhead that effort and get things moving a lot faster. You also have, this is an area where there is a lot of overlap with congressional Republicans. There are certain parts of President Trump's agenda that don't necessarily jive with what the majority in Congress wants. However, this is an area where there are a lot of Republicans who've been looking to do, especially in the House, looking to do some kind of financial deregulation. Republicans have actually, you know, crafted a number of bills over recent years that would, they say, replace Dodd-Frank with a superior alternative. So while it doesn't appear to be something that is necessarily something that is at the very top of President Trump's agenda, he doesn't really talk about it that much. It is something where he does have allies in this that could maybe help it move along a little bit faster than maybe some other things that he's got going on.
Wall Street Journal reporter Telos Demos, thank you very much for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
Make us part of your daily commute. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.